Coaches, Adam here. We're excited to announce that we have partnered with our friends over at Glacier and Huddle to bring you a special event at the early part of 2024 called our Leadership Summit. Now, what exactly is a Leadership Summit and how does it all work? Let me explain. We've selected, together with Glacier, 10 cities that we will be visiting in the early part of 2024 during the months of January, February, and March, hosting three-hour leadership summits available and open to all coaches of all sports. All you have to do is visit glacierclinics.com and RSVP, just simply so we know you're coming. Find the city that works best for you. Tell all your fellow coaches, tell all those in the school, and make a plan to be out at one of the 10 cities. These leadership summits are going to be transformational. We will spend 3 hours unpacking and unleashing a framework that you can use to elevate your players into the leaders needed to win, and unleashing the secret to creating that transformational culture that we all want. Some new content mixed in with some core foundational teachings of Lead 'Em Up. It's going to be a morning that will change everything for you in 2024. Check out glacierclinics.com. View the list of the 10 cities. Find the one that works best for you. Tell your friends, and we will see you there. Let's go. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I'm Adam alongside Kyle, and today we continue our championship series with episode 2. If you missed our first one, absolutely go back and check that out. We're part of a 4-part series identifying the threads, the common denominators in championship runs. And to kind of tee this series up, it was on a recent state championship run by a football team that I was working with here in Maryland that I began to reflect on and realize that for the last 12 seasons, not just the fall season, but all seasons, spring, winter, fall, the last 12 seasons, I've had the benefit of being part of championship runs. And it doesn't mean that every team won the state championship, but we made it to the state championship game in the last 12 seasons in all different sports. There was a volleyball, there was a field hockey, there's a girls lacrosse, a boys lacrosse, a basketball, a football. You could even argue cheer because they made it to the state championship, right? In fact, one school won the state championship, so cheer included. And in each of these runs, whether they won the final game or not, right? I mean, if you're in the state championship game, you're a champion. Pretty much. I mean, let's just say it like it is. You've won regional championships along the way, right, in that run. And, you know, even you're one bounce away from that giving you the state championship. Yeah, you're a champion if you're making it there. That when you begin to reflect and look and say, like, well, what is it? You know, they say success leaves clues, Kyle. You know, like, all right, these teams are successful and you've seen it done over and over. Like, what are the threads? What are the common denominators? And landed on 4 common threads. We recorded about the first one in episode 1. We've got 2 more episodes coming in after this. But today we're going to be tackling the second thread. And the second thread, that second denominator here, is role players who embrace and excel in their role. Role players who embrace and excel in their role. And Kyle, when you look at all these teams, there are players on there that play huge roles. They are major contributors. They show up in big moments. They make plays that oftentimes are the difference makers, but they do it through this lens where they know who they are. They know what they are. They know their place on the team. You know, they recognize, you know what, they may not be the star player. They recognize, you know, they may not be the ones being interviewed after a game. They may not be the ones that everyone on social media is talking about first and foremost. They may not be the ones with the fancy scholarship offers and the graphics and the highlight reels that everyone's talking about. They recognize that. And it's not that they like are settling to not try to be that. They recognize who they are. They recognize their contributions, and they, in fact, honor the stars. They honor those players on the team that really are out front. They love them. They care for them. They support them. They recognize, though, their role on the team, and they do it to the best of their ability in a selfless manner with very little to zero ego. And you know what? It often becomes the biggest difference maker on the championship run.
Absolutely. And not everyone can be, the cliche saying is not everyone can be a star, but everyone can star in their role in a championship team. You know, you have to have people that embrace and excel in their role. And I think where everything starts with that is how clearly that role is communicated to the player. That's where it has to start. Like, do they know exactly what their role is? Once they know that, then they can put in the work to excel in it. But unless you have that component of it, those quote unquote star players can only take the team so far. They need people that are going to come from behind and elevate their performance. So that's the number one thing there is first, we've got to clearly identify what that role is to help people excel in it.
And it's interesting because I think it was KD a few years back when he talked about he was praising, I forget who it was. He was praising the championship team, and he was talking about just like the cast of characters, mm-hmm. the role players, that cast, that supporting cast, and how it was just like the perfect supporting cast. You know, you think about like star teams, let's take basketball, for example. Let's say you've got your two stars, your two max players. Okay, great. Well, every team has two max players, and you need max players, right? You need those stars to get it done. But in many ways, they kind of cancel each other out. Right. Your stars, their stars, right? They kind of cancel each other out. But when you begin to look at who's the difference maker? It's that role player that gets left wide open because everyone's double teaming the star that always hits the wide open shot.
Big shot Rob,
Mike Miller with the Miami Heat,
yeah.
Andre Iguodala,
yep.
Right, with the Golden State Warriors. You've got these role players, and we're just using basketball as an example, right? You know, it's why Julian Edelman and the Patriots became such a star because they had Randy Moss, you know, they had all these like bigger names, Gronk and such. And then this role player Edelman, right, was like, you know what? I'm not the MVP. I'm not the star. Right. I'm not getting the double teams. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm going to pack my lunch pail. I'm going to show up every day. I'm going to do all the nitty gritty. And you know what? I'm going to become one of the biggest reasons we win.
100%.
And nobody will know my name at the beginning, but everybody else will be asking my name at the end. Who is that guy? And it is the role player that recognized their role, excelled in the role. In fact, that's a great little kind of anecdote that you can run with if you're a role player. You know, embrace the reality that no one knows your name in the beginning, but by the end, they absolutely will. Not because you're trying to go above and beyond to be super flashy, because you are just going to make plays when it matters. And people are going to say, who is that number 17? Oh my gosh, he's everywhere.
Right.
And they're looking at the roster in the stands to see who 17 is. And they're like, oh my gosh, he's only a junior. Whoa. He's good. I never even heard of him before. That's a role player that just says, I'm just going to do my job. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to do it really well. And I'm going to let the action speak for itself. I'm not going to, my ego is going to stay in a healthy place. I'm going to recognize who I am and where I am on this team. I'm going to support the star. I'm a believer in the star. I'm going to, show love and hype the star. But man, I'm going to embrace and excel in my role where it is.
I think Pat Riley has talked about it quite a bit in the past. And when you look at the track record of success that he's had, it clearly is something that is embedded into their team culture. But, going back to the Showtime Lakers, he had kind of talked about that, not everyone is going to be a star like Magic or Kareem or James Worthy, people like that. But at the end of the day, you get to call yourself a champion, and not everyone can do that. So kind of, again, casting that vision to where, you know, you're going to have people that drive the ship, but you've got to have people that, you know, as you mentioned, when you get to the point where you're competing for a championship, those high level players, right, they're going to almost cancel each other out. So the third, the fourth, the fifth guy or girl, what are they bringing to the table? Are they fully bought into the value that they bring? Do they see that? Has it been told to them? You know, and the great thing about that is with these role players is their growth doesn't stop. And I think for our high school coaches listening, here's a great kind of point to keep in mind is once the teams are set, you know, we're in winter sports now, spring sports are coming up, but once the roster's set, we just don't stop building, teaching, or equipping those players. We don't stop coaching them, right? And, you know, here's an observation that I had this past year from watching youth football. And another thing that a parent brought up to me just kind of standing at games is like, you know, one thing that stuck out to me is the two differences between coaching styles or staffs is what's going on with the scout team players when the first team's having their reps. Are the scout team players just standing around kind of, you know, aimlessly there as almost like a live tackling dummy, or are they being coached up? Are they getting the game like reps? Because something's going to happen where they're going to need to step in. When I was coaching football, I had the scout team offense. I was like the varsity offensive coordinator. And so when we were doing the defensive component of practice, I would take the scout team offense and we made it the highlight of practice. Like we came up with a name for the team, and every single day these players would come by the hallway like, oh, we're going to tear them up today at practice, coach. And like we would make it a point to be really, really good and have so much fun at it. And what happened was, is like, now those guys that are getting those reps, they're not just going through the motion. They're getting better. And they're starting to see the value that they bring by like getting the offense ready for the opponent on Friday night. So at that setting, and even at the collegiate level, it's like, don't waste the opportunities and practice to develop those players, right? It's not just going to happen on its own. It's like we're talking about with character and leadership, but these role players, they need an opportunity to grow. They need an opportunity to get the repetitions, because if they're bought in and they feel valued and they're getting better, then every phase of your team is getting better. And that's something that I think is overlooked at times. We tell players to get the mental reps, but they have to get the physical reps as well.
Man, I love that idea of giving your scout team a name. Do you remember any of the names?
Well, it was back, like, dating myself here a little bit, but it was like when Talladega Nights was a really big movie. And so we would have like Team Nighthawk and Team Dragon. Like we would draft the players to the team and like, oh, we're on Team Nighthawk, you guys better look out. And like, we would talk trash to them. Like, you know, we're like, we're going to shut you out today, or we're going to score on you. And like every time we scored on them, man, these kids celebrated, they were fired up and the other guys were getting pissed. It was like really like intense practice and raised the level of play. It was fun.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's leadership nugget. Deliver the mail to the right address. This phrase was born during a session with my leaders while we were developing team norms within our organization. There is nothing more toxic to a company than gossip. And as leaders, we want to help redirect those around us to approach the appropriate party with their frustrations or concerns. This seemingly small act can prevent massive amounts of misunderstanding and frustration within a group of friends, family, or a business. Now let's jump back into the episode.
I love that. I think that's fantastic. I can totally visualize it too. Them really just getting excited. You know, it's almost like you want to like create little jerseys for them, you know, like actually just really amplify it up. But, you know, when I think about role players starring in their role, embracing and excelling in their role, they need to prepare as if they are the star. They need to prepare as if they are the star. And what I fear happens with a lot of role players and what causes them not to embrace and excel in their role is they prepare in a diminished capacity because they think I'm just a role player. Oh, I'm not the star player. I don't play both ways. I only play X amount of minutes. And like they begin to kind of prepare through this lens of like, I'm a diminished, you know, player. Like I only play a smaller role. So like my preparation doesn't need to be as big. I don't need to be as active. I don't need to work as hard because I'm not that person. And I believe it like subconsciously may play into their mind. But if you want to be a role player that excels in their role, you have to prepare as if you are the star. Like that, as if it all relies and depends on you, because there will be moments when it does. And if you are not preparing in that moment in the preparation side of it, when the time comes, you won't be ready. You know, as Prime said, after one of their big Colorado games against USC, our team is just not built for the moment. Our team is not built for the moment, he kept emphasizing. And that is a clear indicator that their preparation has not been elevated enough to prepare them for the moment, that the players have gone into the preparation less than intense, right? In a diminished sense, not preparing themselves. And maybe they think, because I'm not the star, right? Or I only play a little bit. I'm just a role player. I'm a rotational player. I don't need to prepare like that, right? And all of a sudden, it's played into the moment under the lights. They're not as ready. But once again, you think about all the championship teams. When that number gets called of those role players, when the ball gets thrown in their direction, they are ready and they make the play. They contribute. They become the difference maker. And yes, once again, they're not the star, but anyone that knows sports, that pays attention to sports, knows how big of a role they played. You know, right. And, you know, I look back at this football team that I was just with, you know, in the state championship, Brian. Man, they've got three stars. It is clear as day they've got three stars. All three go in Division One. They are studs. They made plays. Oh, man, on point. But there is probably, oh, my goodness, there's probably a next tier of guys, 4 through 12, I'd say, the next 8 guys that, holy smokes, they played huge roles. Huge roles. And they made plays. They recovered fumbles. They made huge blocks. They made huge tackles. They brought energy. And frankly, most people may not even know who they are. They may know the number because they saw it, but they don't know the name. They aren't the ones getting all the glory. They weren't the first people getting to hold up the trophy after the championship, because once again, that went to the star players, the high profile players. But you know what? They're good. To your point, they're champions. Yep. They're champions. They get to wear that badge the rest of their life. They get to reflect on that memory the rest of their life. They know what they contributed. The team knows the value that they had. And they had their egos in a healthy place where they weren't trying to battle the star. They weren't always trying to battle the coach from the spotlight. They recognized it. You know, it's interesting. Pat Riley did, you know, referencing Pat Riley earlier. He is also famous in saying, you know, when teams start winning, they begin to contract the disease of me.
Yeah, it's the greatest enemy.
The disease of me, that when the spotlight gets greater, when the wins get greater, everybody wants the spotlight. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to make it all about me because we're winning and the newspapers are writing about us and the stations are out at our practice interviewing people. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, I want to be in the paper. Hey, I want to be recognized. Hey, I want the graphics on social by all the people being shared about me. And all of a sudden, the winning increases this disease of me, where all of a sudden people contract and they want more and more about them and them. And all of a sudden, it can ruin and erode teams. Role players that embrace and excel their role, they don't contract that disease of me. They say, you know, I recognize where I'm at. I recognize who I am. I recognize my contributions, and I'm good with that. Not because I'm settling, but just because I'm understanding of the dynamic of the team. And I also understand my value and contributions are so key and critical on this team. It's just having, it's about having a healthy understanding of who you are and where the team is.
Yeah. One of the things I think that can help our coaches is one of the things that was instilled in us when we were playing, you know, at the high school level. And I think that can carry to either high school, collegiate, any level, honestly, is that when I think of like the role players, especially in football, that, you know, make or break the team, is we always understand, anybody that's been around the game of football, that the game's won or lost in the trenches. I don't care how good you are. If you don't have people up front that can take care of business, it doesn't matter. Like if you have a star linebacker, if he's getting double teamed, or if the quarterback's only got a second to throw. So if you score, or if you get interviewed afterwards, it was always taught to us, you better thank the people that did it up front for you. And when you think about the best leaders in professional sports, the first thing that comes to mind is when they're celebrated is like they praise their teammates. They praise the people that, you know, excelled in those roles. And you can think about like Peyton Manning did that for a long time. We've mentioned a few of these other ones in past episodes. But what they did is they constantly made a point to praise their teammates. Now, for coaches, what you can do to really help these athletes, because it's easy to say, well, we need them to understand and feel valued. Well, how do you do that? Have a champion circle, have a me, we, you celebration at the beginning or the end of practice, and write down, have it a point. Shout out to, you know, some of our coaches who do a great job of this, is that they have people at their practices where their job is to tally like energy giving behaviors. Our friends up at Rice Lake, they were telling me about this, is that they have an intern at their practice and they are tallying, counting up how many energy giving behaviors those players give at every practice. And then they celebrate it at the end of it. So when you talk about like the ability to increase the influence and the play of the role players, it's, well, how are they recognized? How are they celebrated? Watching film is another way to do that. One of the things that, you know, I've shared with a few of our basketball coaches is, you know, and even our athletes, is watching film. A lot of coaches will pay attention to the bench just as much as they do to the actual game film. You know, what is your body language like? So, you know, a way that you can help your role players increase is, how are they being celebrated when they make a big play? What is the rest of the team doing? How, as coaches, we can't just call attention to the big plays that are made by the star players. Like, talk about the people that took a charge. Talk about the people that are excelling in special teams. Maybe they're not even making a tackle, but every single time they don't break contain. And we have not given up a return for a touchdown because our contain guys are so good at what they do. When those people feel celebrated for that role, then it makes everything else click for everybody. But we have to make a conscious effort to celebrate them so they feel valued. Otherwise, we can talk about it, but until they feel it, they don't want to give anymore.
It's a great call out. It's a great call out. And I think you have to be very intentional with that, because you're right. I don't know if all, especially high school, if these players are able to capture their contributions and their role to the bigger picture. They may not be able to put those two and two together. But when you do that, when you begin to share like, hey, you want to know the difference maker on this play was that person. You see your spacing on that?
Right.
Your spacing over there actually created the lane. So, hey, we celebrated the lane and the dunk, but really I want to celebrate the spacing. The spacing created the lane and the dunk.
You didn't catch any balls. You didn't get 100 yards receiving, but guess what? You had the block that sprung the play and you didn't line up offside.
Oh, goodness. You didn't
get a big play negated, right? Just simple things like that.
Just check the ref.
That matters.
Check in with the ref. Just check in with the ref. Anyway, come on, man. Role players who embrace and excel in their role is a, without a doubt, it is a thread and a theme that I continue to see just in light of these last 12 seasons of state championship runs. They are all filled with incredible role players that are not high profile, that not everyone in the county or state knows their name, right, that aren't the most flashy, don't always fill the box scores, but man, they are prepared. They are ready. They contribute. They make a difference. And in fact, they make a championship difference because you're not winning it without it. Hey, make sure you check out the rest of our series, our four-part championship series. We've got two more episodes on top of this coming. This was the second episode. If you missed the first, make sure you go back and check that out. But four themes that we see show up on state championship teams broken down in this series. Appreciate you tuning in. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Until next time, we are out.